Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the California Scheming Show, our salute to the state of California, which finds Kentucky so offensive that they have decided to ban state employees from traveling to the state. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio, Shelley Irving is on assignment in Isomville this week, so the only other person in the studio at this time, unfortunately, is from the University of Kentucky, Interim Executive Director of Networking and Infrastructure, Rick Phillips, to tell you how you can access our show. If you're not from California, please don't even bother getting on the internet and Googling Kentucky. That would be, I'm sure, a violation of something. But if you're not from California, you want to access our on-the-web presence, Rick Phillips can tell you how.
So, Tony, really, we don't want people from California listening to our show?
I don't think they're allowed to.
They're not allowed to?
No. I mean, if they can't come
to— Or is it just the state workers in California?
If they can't come to such enlightened places as Louisville and Lexington, how can they possibly listen to a show originating from Moorhead?
But isn't it just on state employees, the ban?
It is.
So we're basically saying even if you're not a state employee, if you're just a state person, if you're just in that state, you can't really listen to the show?
Well, let me point out, UCLA basketball players are state employees for purposes of the ban. So
I don't think they probably like being called employees.
I did not choose my words haphazardly, my friend. At any rate, if you are a state employee, please stop listening to the show now. Otherwise—
Here's your disclaimer, right?
That's right.
You better stop, because otherwise we're going to tell you to go to WMKY.org. That's right. Moorhead State Public Radio's website. For those of you that are legally allowed to listen to it, log on. And you can find Health Matters and certainly look up the shows. There's a list of the most recent shows, a little bit of summary so you can kind of get an idea of what the show's about. We actually do the summaries after we do the shows, so they're mostly accurate. Sometimes we remember exactly what we talked about. Sometimes we just guess. But either way, you can look at the summary, see what was the show was about. If you like it or you think it looks interesting, there is a link there. You can listen to the full show. Send the link to your friends. Send the, you know, download it. Put it on your podcasting device. Get it delivered automatically to you. It's all right there on WMKY.org. After that, now you've decided, boy, these guys, they're incredible. Well, and Shelley, when she's here, right? Can I pick on her since she's not here?
I expect her. If she gets a cell signal, she's going to give us a report from Isomville.
Can you do that? I don't think you can do that.
I don't think
you
get a cell signal there.
It's like California.
Yeah.
So, certainly jump over to facebook.com/HMRadioshow, and there you will find a fan page devoted to Health Matters. Yes, we do read it. Yes, we post to it. Yes, we do respond. It's your way to get involved with the show. Send us some show topics. Give us feedback. Let us know what you like. Again, and watch for the posts, because we do post things from time to time that are relevant to both the time and situation, depending on what's going on in the world. Or sometimes there's just timely information that we feel compelled to get out to the people that are fans of that page. Either way, jump over to facebook.com/HMRadioshow.
Our sponsor for today's show, the 6 dietary tips patients need to hear from their clinicians. This was a person named Navid Saleh, and it was reviewed on Medscape, which is an internet feed for physicians and healthcare providers. Diet matters, and they said, look, people can only remember maybe 4 things. Maybe if you have a super memory, you might be able to remember 6 or 7. So they gave you 6, and then there's a couple of other tips. But I want to take our time and go through these and make sure you understand them. Dietary tip number 1, choose foods with a wide variety of colors and textures in their most natural form. Even if people hear nothing else their clinician tells them, choosing a wide variety of unprocessed colors and textures, foods as close to their original natural state as possible, will make the most significant difference in long-term health and longevity. And Dr. Saleh reminds us, 7.4% of all cardiometabolic deaths in one study were linked to sugar-sweetened beverages, 8.2% to processed meats. So if we go back to the original form, we don't sweeten with sugar, we don't process, we don't do those things, and your plate looks colorful. You should worry if your plate is a kind of a yellow-white monotone. That's not a good sign. And it doesn't count if you buy a colorful plate. What we're saying is you fill the plate with colorful things.
Do you do that? Do you make a little ensemble, a little
medley? I note
medley?
The color of my plate. I want some green, I want some red somewhere on the plate.
What? Really? Ketchup?
That's right. And if tomatoes are a vegetable, is ketchup a smoothie? That's the question. I mean, you got to ask. A tomato smoothie right there on your plate.
So, I mean, I'm not going to eat any tomatoes. I'm not going to eat any peppers.
Apples. I'm okay with red peppers.
But apples
in moderation.
For dinner?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Now, you've got to think outside the
proverbial
hamburger
plate.
Box.
So, really? I mean, so what else red can I get on there? Name something else there, Mr. Wizard.
Well, I'd rather focus on green because I got spinach and I got broccoli going on the green side.
Great. So green beans, I get it. Peas,
yeah.
Probably not the best for you.
Purple grapes, green grapes.
Well, see, why? That's dessert. That's a different plate. Maybe
listen,
that's my problem.
No. I get this fruit stuff. It's got it's got a little red cherry in it. Some
you're describing
pear
breakfast.
And pineapple and. No, I'll do that pretty much anytime. Listen, vegetables are hard for me, okay? It's not like I can come up with a
they're even harder for me.
List. I've got to figure this stuff out. But I do look and I think, okay, well, I need more color on this plate. If I've got just beans and
so just brown is not good, huh?
No, and yellow.
So you don't want it to look like a desert?
Cheesy stuff.
You don't want your plate to look like a desert?
Yeah, sure. You want it to look tropical. In its way.
In a good sort of way.
In a good sort of way. Number two. Avoid or dramatically minimize. And when you say dramatically minimize, you must.
Dramatically.
That's right. You must have theme music. You should have a helmet and reduce processed foods. Processed foods and beverages, packaged snacks, smoked meats. That means step away from the Slim Jim. That's what that means.
But don't you love those?
I do not.
And frankly, they are in colorful packaging.
That's. You want a little bit of
what if you don't take
red,
them out
yellow
of the pack?
On your plate, just drop a Slim Jim there and you got it. No, in fact, that is one thing I can do fine without
a Slim Jim.
Yeah, are you a Slim Jim guy?
I like Slim Jims.
Really, I've never seen.
I don't eat them a lot.
Okay, but, I was going to say I didn't. Think
but they're
so.
Good. They're a lot of times if you see a Slim Jim and me, we're obviously driving somewhere long distance. Because it's a snack in the car.
2017, 7.4% of all cardiometabolic deaths were linked to sugar-sweetened beverages and 8.2% linked to processed meats. Remember, if your meat comes in a stick, a sphere, a circle, a cube, then that is not the kind of meat you want.
So Vienna sausages are out.
Vienna sausages were pretty much out before we had any nutritional guidelines. It's not my favorite. Now, I know a lot of people
so
do
no
them.
Potted meat. That's what about good. Tuna? Tuna comes in a round can.
Yeah, but once you pour it out, it's not symmetric anymore, is it? Now, it's chunk-like tuna packed in spring water, and it makes a pile on your plate.
Okay.
You get a pile of meat, I'm fine with it, especially a pile of fish. And tuna is, in fact, a pretty darn good thing to eat.
Okay, so you're saying I can do chicken as long as it's like pieces of chicken and not, like chicken nuggets.
If it's in the shape of a dinosaur, you need to really rethink your diet.
I like smiley faces personally, but, hey, to each his own.
Number three, choose realistic, balanced diets for weight loss and weight maintenance. Depending on the patient, you can recommend the Mediterranean diet, which is high in fish, not so high in dairy products, but lots of nuts and fresh greens. Portion control plates. These are things that says, look, don't get anything that's outside this plate, and it is a smaller size plate than usual. Or Weight Watchers or even intermittent fasting. There are certain characteristics, they said, that promote weight loss and weight maintenance. Number one, high vegetable and fruit intake. And again, Rick and I are working on the vegetable and fruit intake. Two, foods that are high in fiber. Three, whole grains foods. Four, increased water intake. Five, decreased intake of dietary sugar. Oh, gee, a weight loss diet that has a lower intake of sugar. I'm sorry. I got sarcastic there for a moment, but I'm back. Sufficient protein intake and a sufficient intake of healthy fats. That was something that we missed out in the 1980s and early 90s. We thought that we would just go zero fat. And, in fact, we made people very, very hungry, which was not a good plan. Our sponsor, the six dietary tips, we got through three of them this first fractional portion. We'll continue in our second fractional portion. Now, again, this travel ban, June 23rd, California Attorney General, and I know I will massacre his name. I apologize to him because I have nothing against this
guy. Don't worry, he's not going to call you.
His name is Javier Becerra, I believe. His state will prohibit its employees from traveling to Texas, Alabama, Kentucky, and South Dakota. They have been added to Tennessee, North Carolina, Mississippi, and Kansas. And pretty soon, Californians will stay in California, which we think is where they belong. According to Becerra, he says, our country has made great strides in dismantling prejudicial laws that have deprived too many of our fellow Americans of their precious rights. Sadly, that is not the case in all parts of our nation, even in the 21st century. I'm announcing today I'm adding four states to the list of states where California-funded or sponsored travel will be restricted on account of discriminatory nature of these laws. A law went into effect in January that prohibited state-funded travel to states with laws that discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And Kentucky's, they had a law allowing religious groups to meet on campus, which was felt to violate that particular part of California's ordinances. Apparently, Louisville has already lost $2 million in conventions from Chicago, oddly enough. You know, Chicago, I guess, is in the northern part of California. They are actually in they are responding in sympathy with the California ban, so they decided to pull out of Louisville. University of Kansas apparently is unable to schedule a basketball game with UCLA, again, because the UCLA basketball team are state employees. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher asked for Louisville to be excluded from the ban, and so did Lexington Mayor Jim Gray. They said these two cities respect the rights of gay and transgender people. And, you know, I mean, the rest of the state, of course, is in this unholy area that has no respect for anyone's rights. And so we just say thank God for Lexington and Louisville, but we certainly in the state of Kentucky, we realize there's no way we can claim to meet their high standards elsewhere in the rural areas of the state. So, sorry, I guess what we're doing now is we're in the process of erecting walls across the United States. We could certainly boycott California raisins, but I really think we need to be United States about this, and we can laugh at it a little bit, and hopefully people will come to their senses, and if you want to change behaviors, you go and talk to people rather than just simply ban yourself from associating with anyone who doesn't agree with your opinions. I hope to have a dialogue. I'm not saying either side's wrong or right. I'm just saying we should have a dialogue. We should not be putting up walls between ourselves and other states.
Look, if we stopped going to California for every time they did something we didn't like, we'd never – I mean, there would be no Hollywood. I mean, we wouldn't do it. I mean, it's just – it's crazy to think that they're going to pick a particular topic. I mean, you can't just generally say the entire state of Kentucky doesn't like gay people. That is just a total – I mean, it's an insinuation that I'm a bit offended by.
Yeah, me too.
You know, they're just calling me a racist.
And the thing about it, and here's the thing, my son pointed this out to me. I was spouting off about this. I said, to my knowledge, they've not banned travel to Russia or to communist China.
No.
But they have to.
Or North Korea, probably.
South Dakota, yes.
North Korea probably banned it the first time.
Yeah, but at any rate.
Oh, no, they can't go to Cuba, though. Yet.
Okay, fair enough. But I don't know what Cuba's policies are. Maybe they'll be offended by Cuba. The thing about it is they can make Kentucky do something. They can't, you know, if they ban travel to Russia, it wouldn't do any good. Well, they figure it, look, Kentucky's a pretty poor state. So is South Dakota. So is Mississippi. These states are so poor that we can make them do what we want.
Maybe we could turn around and say no California horses can participate in the Derby.
Are their horses state employees?
Probably.
I bet they are.
Well, they're certainly on the payroll.
Well, the backsides are anyway.
But no, I mean, just think about it. I mean, what if we said, okay, from now on, you know, there's all kinds of this is just dumb. And, you know, I guess it's appropriate for this show because that's what we talk about, dumb things.
Yeah. But this cost, you know, this very thing, the insensitivity, I'm going to hold that thought. Rick's pointing at the clock. I will tell you what
I didn't know you were going
to
go forever.
North Carolina in our next fractional portion. We're going to take a break, and you should too. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the California Scheming Show. We are celebrating inventing the fact that the state of California has decided not to associate with the state of Kentucky because they are offended by our ideas and our legislation. And Rick and I have repeatedly said, I want to be absolutely clear on this, we ourselves, this is an apolitical show. We have We're not expressing an opinion for or against the particular bill that the Californians are upset about. What we are disturbed at is people do not seem to be able to engage each other in a dialogue, preferring instead to simply ban association with each other. We do not think that is the way to solve our nation's problems or improve the overall civility of these, our United States. All right, reminder of our sponsor for the second time, the six dietary tips patients need to hear from their clinicians. Again, number one was choose foods with a wide variety of colors and textures in their most natural form.
So ketchup and mustard on your plate at all times.
Yeah. I mean, there's your two colors right there. You just got it.
Relish.
Know, right there.
Relish. My gosh.
No, I hate relish.
Hot dogs. Hot dogs. That is a colorful thing. Hot dogs. You get five
you eat
colors
on
out
your
of
hot dogs, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
See, and that's why
is that
I
why
really
you don't
like you.
Yeah.
You see, here's an example.
Tony,
everyone
I've
knows
eaten it at
I
your
do not
house.
Like Rick. I have a lot of problems with Rick, and yet I will still associate. I have not yet banned Rick. And certainly, if I can do that, I think any state in the nation should be able to be compatible with any other state in the nation. Relish on hot dogs is ridiculous.
So here's the thing. Let's get
take
aside.
A perfectly
let's,
good hot dog.
Let's just move past that, and let's say, okay, so what you're saying is basically, if I like vanilla ice cream, you'd like me to add Fruity Pebbles to them. Because then it'd be really colorful. And it would look good on my plate.
In their natural form. If you think Fruity Pebbles are natural pebbles that are fruity, then
who doesn't like Fruity Pebbles?
Let's go. Let remind you of the words. Rick obviously is the number one distorter of common sense. So let me go back and let's straighten the mirror. Let's part the fog and remind you. Choose foods with a wide variety of colors and textures in their most natural forms.
You're right.
If,
the texture is always the same.
If that means Fruity Pebbles to you, then so be it.
Fruity Pebbles are always the same texture. That's probably enough.
You can easily, we will talk around you for the rest of the show. Number two, avoid or dramatically minimize processed foods. Again, step away from the Slim Jim. Packaged snacks, smoked meats, white flour, sugar-sweetened foods and beverages, all should be not chewed but eschewed.
Does Pringles count as?
Pringles. Number three. Choose realistic, balanced diets for weight loss and weight maintenance. And, again, these diets should have a high level of fruit and vegetable intake, high fiber, whole grain foods, increased water intake. Drop the dietary sugar. Make sure you get sufficient protein and sufficient intake of healthy fats to help to lower your appetite.
Is that a bagel?
One helpful rule of thumb. I'm going to get through this. Yeah, with you or without you, I'm going to read the sponsor.
Unfortunately.
These are the people that pay our non-existent bills, and so we're going to take care of them. One helpful rule of thumb, half a plate of vegetables, a quarter a plate of lean protein, and a fourth of a plate of high-fiber complex carbs. So you look at your plate. Number one, it is colorful. Number two, it is half vegetables, and you've got yourself a darn good plate. You can take your seat. You can begin eating. Till you get there, you've got to keep working on it. Do not go with a monotone, high-processed food plate. Number four, consume healthy oils for the heart, fish oil, olive oil, and avocado oil. Now, I guess you're a big avocado oil man, aren't you, Rick? Because you and I seem to like exactly the opposite thing.
I don't care for things from California. Stopped you dead on that one, didn't
you? Yeah, I mean, you got me on the theme there. I'm a pretty big – olive oil is okay for me. Fish oil, I take supplements. And
my fish can only be from other states. I can't get fish from California.
Yeah, well, in 2012, 7.8% of cardiometabolic deaths tied to low levels of omega-3 fatty acids. Again, that's salmon, mackerel, certain other fish high in omega-3s. Vegan patients can use flaxseed, walnut, and chia seed, which I've never had. On the other hand, walnuts, I am now my best friends. I always liked walnuts, and I find that they're actually pretty good. I always like those black walnuts you could get around Kentucky. English walnuts, not so much, but I will eat English walnuts because they have the kind of oil we're looking for. Number five, forego red meat and live longer. Meat is a principal source of protein and fat. Red meat is linked to increased risk for cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, all of which decrease longevity. A 2012 study, red meat and consumption and mortality, two cohort studies. They looked at 37,000 and change men, 83,000 and change women, all of whom health professionals. So that's going to be your health professionals follow-up study and your women's health initiative with the nurses. Maximum period of 28 years, and they did not have cardiovascular disease when they started, but consumption of red meat increased the risk for cardiovascular cancer and all-cause mortality. Number six, This is a tough one. Let's just read through this one. Consume fermented foods, probiotics, and fiber for gastrointestinal and overall health. Now, we believe, I think the take-home message I would have from this session is we believe that you can't consider food to be a bunch of chemicals that go into your body. We've said this repeatedly on this show. The foods you eat grow the germs that are present in your colon, and those germs apparently have a strong relationship with your overall health. So you've got to consider the foods you eat not as a bunch of chemicals for you, but rather as a way to grow and maintain the correct germs in your GI system. And in that case, they mention yogurt, which I'm pretty fond of yogurt. I've a taste now for Greek yogurt. I didn't prefer, have before. Kefir, do you know what that is? K-E-F-I-R?
Nope.
No idea. Didn't even look it up for the show. I said, look, I'm so mad at California, I don't have time to look up this kind of weird foods. Unpasteurized fermented foods. And that's cheese is a pretty good source. You get some natural.
It's pasteurized, isn't it?
Well, I mean, your American sliced cheese is, but you get to some decent cheeses, and you got cheese is kind of yogurt on a stick.
But can you sell unpasteurized cheese? And I mean, is it something that you, I mean, is that even something that's allowed?
Yeah, I think you can. I think now, all right, now you've laid down the gauntlet, or but I believe you can. In fact, because, I mean, those French cheeses, you know, those European cheeses, they're all fermented and everything. You kill all the germs in them, and you kind of take away the taste. In a 2010 clinical review, this is 7 years old, review, they said the strongest evidence for clinical effectiveness of probiotics has been in the treatment of acute diarrhea. I will tell you, the strength of evidence for probiotics is not as strong as these other things we have mentioned, but I'm going to allow it because these are some pretty sensible recommendations. And I think as time passes, it will prove us correct that the germs you grow in your gut are going to be very closely related to the diseases or the health that you have. And then a final piece of advice, avoid alcohol or limit its consumption to one drink per day for women, two for men. Try not to substitute food sources with vitamin supplements. That is, don't take vitamins instead of eating the right foods. Eat the right foods instead. Now, fish oil, I decided. My wife, actually, she gets tuna most weekdays. She just packs it and takes it with her lunch. But for me, I realized I don't get enough fish, and so I decided I would just supplement fish oil. But I would rather get the fish if I had the ability and the taste to do so. I just can't quite do it. Avoid alcohol. That's kind of a new idea. We, for a long time, we said, well, you know, moderate alcohol has been associated with longevity and so forth. No, not really. I mean, there is a problem of the alcohol linked with cancer. There's a problem with alcohol links to dementia. It is not a good thing to take up for your health. If you like drinking, that's have fun. I don't think it's terribly bad for you, but do not start drinking for your health. There may be some cardiovascular benefit, but there's a lot of other harm from alcohol, and so there's no reason to drink for your health. Pasteurized foods, Rick, are you?
So the sale of raw milk cheese appears to be legal as long as it's been aged for more than 60 days.
There you go.
So I don't know how many that – I don't know how you find that out, but it probably is on the packaging.
Yep.
Raw milk in general in the U.S. is banned.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
And really you shouldn't. I mean, that was my problem with the probiotics because right away people say, well, of course, unpasteurized milk. I've just seen so many infectious diseases reported from unpasteurized milk. I can't get enthusiastic about that. On the other hand, cheese, yogurt, I can be pretty enthusiastic.
And I bet you most of it is made from pasteurized milk. I think the only way to get raw milk for the making of cheese and stuff like that is you'd have to have your own cows. I don't know that you can buy it from another farmer. It doesn't appear. Then again, you know, sometimes Wikipedia is not the most accurate thing in the world.
Yep. I think you're right, though. All right, back to California. I wanted to talk about them again because they tried something very interesting, and I don't – not being from California, maybe our California listeners, if they are allowed to visit our Facebook page, maybe they can comment on this. The California Senate passed a bill which created a single-payer health care system for the entire state. That is, you would get all your health care from one payer. They sent it to the in the Senate. They apparently sent it to the House. House Speaker Anthony Rendon declared the legislation dead. And this is what he said. The bill was sent to the Assembly woefully incomplete. It does not address many serious issues such as financing, delivery of care, cost controls, or the realities needed by the Trump administration and voters to make Senate Bill 562 a genuine piece of legislation. So there was an idea that California was going to look at single-payer healthcare. It was going to cost around, is going to increase costs by around $200 billion. That's more than double the state budget. Now, if you could take money from Medicare, Medicaid, employer-sponsored health insurance, put them in a pot, then you could conceivably come up with a state, a single-payer state health plan. The problem is the enabling legislation nationally for that, to take Medicare funds, to take insurance, private insurance funds, and blend them into a state controlled single payer, that legislation does not exist. So it's an interesting idea. I assume they did it sort of as a show that they were not happy with the Republican plans to deal with the Affordable Care Act. But I honestly don't know. They would have to vote for new taxes. And that takes a supermajority in the state of California, and perhaps private insurance costs disappearing would more than make up for that. But again, to vote for a new tax, assuming that it will take care of old taxes, I think California voters probably are smarter than that. I don't know. At any rate, right now it looks like the single payer experiment in California, which was a pretty grand idea, but apparently not terribly well thought through and thought out. Maybe more of a gesture than an actual bill. And again, if we get flooded with comments, we can handle it. I think most people from California, though, will be prohibited from writing us. And so I think we can say pretty much anything we want. I think it was just a gesture is what I think.
There you go. Empty gesture. Although not so empty.
Well, it's going to cost a lot of money. $200 billion added to their budget. Next up was, and again, we're still talking about making fun of California because this is what we do. We just can't get over things. This was a study published June 26 in the American Medical Association Journal of Internal Medicine. Northwestern University researchers looked at complaints collected by the FDA on cosmetics from 2004 to 2016. Not that people in California use cosmetics. I don't want anyone to assume that I am doing this on the California show because I somehow relate cosmetics to California. But let's face it, there's some pretty darn good-looking people out there in California. There were 706 adverse events reported in 2015, 1,591 in 2016. They basically doubled their adverse events. Compared with the average number of cosmetic-related adverse event reports across the 12-year period, that's a 78% increase in 1 year and a 300% increase in 2016. Apparently, there was something called WEN by Chasdeen Hair Care Products that caused a lot of problems with hair breakage, balding, itching, rashes, and so forth. As of November, the FDA received 1,386 complaints about those hair care products. So the FDA investigated. Now, the FDA, we'll talk about it, has very little power to investigate cosmetics. They don't regulate them. They don't approve them. They don't investigate them. But they did, and they found that Chasdeen had received more than 21,000 complaints.
Wow.
They had 1,300 and change. Chasdeen had 21,000, but they are not required to report these complaints to the FDA. If you have a problem with a drug, I am required to fill out a report to the FDA so we can find the side effects because FDA regulates drugs. They do not regulate cosmetics. No one does. And so Chasdeen could just sit on these 21,000 complaints. The FDA investigation is ongoing, but these products are still on the market because they have no authority to recall cosmetics products. And also, there's no need to get them approved before you put them on the market. So we're in a pickle here. The global cosmetics industry, this is an editorial by Robert Califf, who is the former director of the FDA. He's a Duke guy, but for this purpose, we'll allow him to be on the show. Global cosmetics industry, $265 billion with a B dollars in revenue in 2017. The FDA, Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition, $13 million. $265 billion worldwide. $13 million in regulatory, I mean, for the whole thing, not just for cosmetics.
I think you're making a little point here.
Yeah, the FDA has no chance of being able to control. And these are nutritional supplements and cosmetics. This is where the FDA, let me see, in Califf's words, this is basically we are back in the 1930s. Hasn't really changed. Since 1938, we had in 1938, we decided we were going to get arsenic and other products out of our cosmetics. And so there was the Cosmetic Act of 1938, but we haven't really done anything since then. Anything that is designed to be rubbed, poured, sprinkled, or sprayed on, introduced into, or otherwise applied to the human body for cleansing, beautifying, promoting attractiveness, or altering the appearance. So this is moisturizers, perfumes, lipsticks, eye and facial makeup, cleansing shampoos, hair colors, and deodorants. The FDA does not regulate. If they're not intended to treat or prevent disease, they are classified as cosmetics. Sunscreens are regulated as over-the-counter drugs because they're marketed to prevent sunburn and skin cancer. But if you don't market them to prevent sunburn and skin cancer, no regulation whatsoever. So we have an unregulated cosmetics industry. We have complaints from consumers that there's really no one in charge of overseeing this. And there hasn't been now for 80 years. We have no authority at all to regulate cosmetics. And these guys at Northwestern, they said, okay, well, just, you know, how bad is it? And the answer is, well, it's pretty bad. Now, we're not saying that cosmetics as a group are unsafe. We don't know if they're safe or not. You know, we don't know what application of cosmetics does over a person's lifetime. No one's ever studied that. Probably it's okay. Probably many of them are natural compounds and probably okay, but we have no idea. We also have no idea what you're going to do on your break, but you get a break now because we're going to take a break as well. We'll come back with our third and final fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the California Scheming Show. Rick and I are venting about the fact that Californians are no longer allowed to associate with us.
You know, it's bad because I got a brother-in-law in L.A. I guess he's not allowed. I guess it's pretty much...
You're not allowed to talk to him.
Well, he's not allowed to talk to me. Let's be honest.
Oh, this could work out well then, huh? It's time to get a few things off our chest, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I can yell and scream and whatever, and he can't really say anything back.
I don't think he, by law, is allowed to, if I understand the statutes correctly. The state, in fact, has prohibited Californians from associating with Kentuckians or apparently spelling anything with the letter K. I think it's another thing that they've really taken this thing very seriously. In fact, the actual legislation, the enabling legislation, was passed in January, and their attorney general now has been directed to ban travel to any state that has legislation which can be discriminatory against people, against gay, lesbian, or people of other genders and identities. And Kentucky has run afoul of this law. So California will no longer allow state employees to travel to the state of Kentucky. They have issued a ban on Kentucky, and I think it was Tennessee, North Carolina, Mississippi, Texas, and I believe South Dakota, if I remember from the first fractional portion. So that's why we did the show. Our sponsor for the final time, the 6 dietary tips patients need to hear from their clinicians. And we will remind you, 1, choose foods that are not fruity pebbles. I'm sorry.
Why? What's wrong with fruity pebbles? So cocoa pebbles?
What's wrong with fruity pebbles is that they're made of sugar. And that runs afoul of basically tips 1 through 6.
So if I'm going to get like Special K, I can get it with the little strawberries in it or little pieces of chocolate?
Why don't you get the marshmallow things as Lucky Charms? You know,
I don't like that. I mean,
you're not a marshmallow guy.
Well,
I'm surprised. You would go with Fruity Pebbles, but you're not a marshmallow
But the marshmallows start off so hard, and they have to be in the milk and get soggy.
You know why you like Fruity Pebbles is because you can get that on frozen yogurt.
Absolutely. And you can put it on your ice cream. You can do all kinds of things.
That's where it came from. I was thinking, why Fruity Pebbles? Why did you pick
well,
that one out?
Well, actually, truthfully, I picked Fruity Pebbles because it's the most colorful breakfast cereal I could think of.
What's the one with Toucan Sam? Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops.
But Fruit Loops are just, they're like lifesavers. They're bigger. They look, you know, the Fruity Pebbles, you could argue, aren't symmetrical.
It's incredible.
But Fruit Loops, on the other hand, are both symmetrical and wrong. You see what I mean?
They're highly processed. They're full of sugar.
Yeah, but
they violate pretty much everything except the color.
But Fruity Pebbles at least look like they're not.
Fruity Pebbles look healthy is what you're saying.
Right.
If you pour up all the fruity stuff and you go, hey, this looks healthy. It's colorful. It's fruity. It's
right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like a bowl of grapes and plums and things, you know.
Sugar plums.
Yeah. Sugar plums. That's it. Number one, despite Rick, is choose foods with a wide variety of colors and textures in their most natural forms. And they mentioned, even if you hear nothing else from this show, choosing a wide variety of unprocessed colors and textures will make the most significant difference in your long-term health and longevity. Look at it. Get things that are natural, things that are not processed, things that don't have color added, but they naturally are colorful. That's what you want. Number two, avoid or dramatically minimize processed foods, especially packaged snacks, smoked meats, white flour, sugar-sweetened foods and beverages. They should be avoided. Number three, choose realistic, balanced diets for weight loss and weight maintenance. Don't go whole hog for the nothing but Slim Jims diet. Certain people have proposed that. Mediterranean diet, portion control plates, Weight Watchers. Diets with certain characteristics promote weight loss and weight maintenance. That's increased fruit and vegetable intake, consumption of foods that are high in fiber, whole grain foods, increased water intake, decreased dietary sugar intake, sufficient protein intake. Don't cheat the protein. And then sufficient intake of healthy fats should help you some with your appetite. Four, consume healthy oils for the heart. Fish, olive, and avocado oils are the ones that they recommend. Also, canola oil, walnut oil, flaxseed oil. Chia seed oil, of course, the universal, the ubiquitous chia seed is what we're all looking for. Number five, forego red meat and live longer. Red meat, maybe not the absolute worst thing that you can do, but it does seem in some long studies, longitudinal studies, to cause increased cardiovascular disease. Number six, and again, this is somewhat controversial, but they said consume fermented foods and probiotics. That does not mean spoiled milk. That does not mean things that, in fact, are a danger of infectious diseases. But things like yogurt, kefir, K-E-F-I-R. Pronounce it. Look it up. That's what you want. Unpasteurized fermented foods. Please don't do unpasteurized milk. We do not in any way want to recommend that. Couple of other pieces of advice, avoid alcohol or limit consumption to one drink per day for women or two for men. Try not to substitute food sources with vitamin supplements. That is, vitamins are not the same as food. What we want you to take from number six and the thing about vitamins is you can't simply put chemicals in your body and expect if you have the right chemicals, things will work out. You've got to grow the right germs in your gut. That's the important thing. That's our sponsor, the Six Tips. Six dietary tips. And again, these are not a Health Matters original. These were actually proposed by someone who knows what they're talking about. This is Dr. Naveed Saleh, and it was reviewed on Medscape June 29th. We thought it was worth putting on the show. Charles Schwab has a they had a survey, and they did their press releases and so forth. And the headline got me, I will tell you. They said Americans are split on their definition of wealth. And the overall headline of this thing said more Americans feel that health is a part of being wealthy than actual monetary acquisition. So I thought, okay, let's go take a look at that. I read the survey, and it's not quite what they said, but I'll just run through this. What they did, Charles Schwab, between April 12th and 27th of 2017, they surveyed 1,000 Americans ages 21 to 75. The sample was drawn from online sample sources. Now, I don't know what online sample sources mean. They did not, in fact, walk down the street and stop people. They did not randomly call people in different zip codes. They found online sample sources. So I don't know how representative this is. They said it's representative as possible. And I thought, no, it's not. If you went with online sources, it's representative as practical, I guess. Margin of error, they said, is 3 percentage points. So whatever they say, they feel plus or minus 3 percentage points is probably correct. This is what Charles Schwab says. So The first question is, how do you define wealth? They said, to me, wealth means blank. To me, wealth means blank. And so this is just like Family Feud. Survey says the number one answer was having lots of money. 27% said that.
Okay. Only 27%.
Yep. 24% said being comfortable and enjoying life was their definition of wealth. 22% said having material things and being able to afford anything. 19% said living stress-free. I don't have to worry about money. That's me being wealth. 12% of misguided souls said it was relationships, family, friends, and love. Wealth means friends.
Okay, does it?
This is a survey.
Okay.
For 12%, it does.
How would you answer?
You know, that, of all the things, I work hard to put this together. I didn't really think about how I would define wealth.
Well, you get to pick one of the top answers. I mean, you can pick the one you like the
true.
Best.
Got a list.
So you don't have to think of it original.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're, I don't know, you can live stress-free and be pretty poor.
Right.
But I guess in that sense, you're a wealthy person because you don't have any stress. And if you had a lot of stress to try to keep up with other people, then you're not wealthy, even if you have $1 million.
I think people of pretty much all walks of life have stress and problems. They're just different, right? So there's a difference between, you know, it may seem different to people, and it may seem kind of absurd or even comical. But to the person experiencing the problem, it's no less stress, right? Your body doesn't know whether it's stress because your jet won't take off today or it's stress because you're having a hard time paying the bills. I mean, to me, the stress itself, now it may seem like that's a stupid thing, but I mean, the fact is your body, you know, stress is relative, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Well, I grew up with I had a big family. I had a few friends. I fell in love once. But I didn't consider myself wealthy growing up.
Right.
So I guess practically that's not my definition. As you said, stress-free, I think of that as being entirely independent of the word I would call wealth. Being able to afford anything, I frankly don't want a lot of stuff. And so the idea that I want to be able to afford to buy things, that's not my definition of wealth either. I'd rather give that money away.
See, to me, I think the word content has to find itself in there somewhere.
Yeah, being comfortable enjoying life, I could see that possibly as being wealthy. If I don't have to, I can enjoy my life without having to worry about where my next dollar is coming from. And that's something that wasn't always present in my life, so I can see that. 9% said security, stability. I don't know. I've gotten older. I certainly have a greater wealth right now, but I don't know how my health's going to hold up, and I don't feel secure or stable. Figure, you know, one heart attack and I'm in big trouble. Being happy is the same as being as wealth. That's 6%. Being healthy, 6%. Freedom, independence, 5%. And then other. I mean, who would say, you know what wealth is? It's other. That doesn't make any sense. Why would 14% of people
come
have
on,
that?
Tony. They all answered a hodgepodge of things, and this the person who was summarizing the survey said, here's the last 1%.
I have read this. You know hodgepodge is nowhere on this list.
I get
I'm
it.
Embarrassed.
But I'm using a Kentucky term.
I know.
Hodgepodge so people in California won't recognize it.
All right. Americans lean toward definitions of wealth that money can't buy. Here's their self-description of wealth. You had to slide this thing, okay? Is it more having a healthy work-life balance or more having an important job title? Well, how do you think? I mean, that's almost like good and evil. That's Goofus and Gallant level. So 78% said, work-life balance. Only 22% said, I want an important job title. That's my definition of wealth. And the same thing here. They compared having good physical health, which is the right answer, to having a lot of money, which is the wrong answer. 65-35 said health. And so out comes the headline, health is more important than money and wealth and defining wealth. And I'm thinking, no, if you have a slider there and there's a good answer and a bad answer, it's going to be good. Now, here's a tough one, working on my career versus building my community. 56% said building my community, because that's a good answer. Working on my career is a bad answer. Having money versus having gratitude, 58% said gratitude. The statement that better describes you, to me, having wealth means having gratitude, 58% said that. I'm struggling with this survey. You can tell
me. Yeah.
I mean, don't believe it. I think, okay. 39% said donate my time to a cause I care about. 61% said being able to donate my money to a cause I care about.
Wow.
So having wealth means I don't have to spend time with things. I just give them money. That's a good thing. Making lots of money, 38%. Being with friends, 62%. Leaving an inheritance for my family, 23%. Spending time with my family now, 77%. So there goes the inheritance, kids. We're going to all take a cruise together. Being able to buy whatever I want now, 19%. Not having to worry about the future, 81%. Having more money than most people I know, that's wealth. 13% said that. Not having to stress over money, 87%. And again, see, that's either
me,
or.
I can see
the thing one direction or the other.
I can see the definition of wealth being the last thing you said.
Not having to stress over money.
Not having to stress over money, yeah. I think, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, and I've this is a topic that's come up at times, you know, or I've said over the years is, you know, the road, you know, they always talk about, you know, money can't buy happiness, right? And it really can't. Because, again, people of all walks of life are both happy and sad and dealing with adversity and dealing with, you know, I mean, there's things that it can't. To me, where the wealth kind of kicks in is, you know, and can we kind of temper this a little bit with, we're not talking about the uber wealthy, right? We're not talking about the guys who have $50 million yachts and, you know, because, I mean, there's a difference between, I think, that and what I think this survey was trying to get at. I think the survey was trying to get at, you know, more of a middle class wealthy, right? You know, upper middle class, or when do you leave middle class and become in that other percentage? When you have the wealth, then there are problems that you can make go away with the wealth, right? Like a flat tire. Flat tire is much easier to solve when you have cash that's not destined for rent money.
Yep.
So I do think that there are times when wealth can make situations easier or less stressful, but it doesn't actually get rid of everything.
If you're into numbers, according to these people, these 1,000 people they surveyed, the amount of net worth needed to be financially comfortable, $1.1 million. The amount of net worth needed to be wealthy, $2.4 million. That's the average from these people. And I'm recognize I live in a poor state. I'm surrounded by people who are not wealthy. Those numbers seem just a little bit high for me. And that comes, then I want to hit you with the last thing. Can I do that?
You can.
All right. This was June 26, CNBC.com. Of hospital bills that were $500 or less, 68% of those were not paid off in 2016.
Wow.
People could not pay a $500 hospital bill. Your net worth may be, to be comfortable, might be $1.1 million, but hospital bills. And we know that health problems are a leading cause of bankruptcy, so health can really mess up your financial planning. 68% not paid off in 2016. In 2014, 49%. So what's happened is, you know, we have had a progressive inability, and we assume that's because of the rise of high deductible insurance policies. But for whatever reasons, we went from 49% of these $500 or less, which, by the way, the majority of hospital bills actually closed out at $500 or less.
But that's probably – you don't think they're lumping in clinic visits?
I suppose so. Hospital margins already between 2 and 4% on the average. If the patients don't pay their bills, the hospitals are going to go belly up, and that's been a big problem. Most hospital bills are $500 or less. TransUnion, this is the people that did the survey. This is a company that helps collect bills. If the bill was more than $3,000, 99% were not paid in full. So pretty much the thing is you look at all these definitions of wealth and friends and so forth, but there are a number of our fellow citizens here in the United States that are desperately poor, that don't have the money to pay off their health care bills, don't have the money to and we see those in the free clinics and around in our community. $1.1 million just seems to some of these people more like a dream. Speaking of a dream, it's time to end ours and close the show out, Rick.
Special thanks to our Morehead State Public Radio producer, Sean Delaney, and Eric Bribery, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans, even if you're in California. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org or visit us on Facebook. Just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show, and remember these side effects that Health Matters actually shares with Botox.
Health Matters is a prescription radio show that is injected into the muscles and used used to temporarily improve the look of both moderate to severe crow's feet lines and frown lines between the eyebrows in adults.
Health Matters may cause serious side effects that can be life-threatening. Get medical help right away if you have any of these problems anytime, even weeks after listening to our show.
Problems swallowing, speaking, or breathing due to weakness of associated muscles can be severe and result in loss of life. You may be unable to swallow our show for several months.
Spread of radiotoxic effects. The effects of Health Matters may affect areas away from the listening site and cause serious problems, including loss of strength, overall muscle weakness, double vision, drooping eyelids, trouble feeling words clearly, and loss of bladder control, and trouble breathing.
There has not been a confirmed serious case of spread of toxic effects when Health Matters has been heard at recommended levels.
Well, not until now. Health Matters may cause loss of strength or general muscle weakness or vision problems within hours to weeks after listening to our show. If this happens, do not drive a car, operate machinery, or do other dangerous activities.
Tell your doctor about all your muscle or nerve conditions, such as Lou Gehrig's disease, as you may be at increased risk of serious side effects from typical doses of Health Matters.
Read the patient information leaflet available from your pharmacist before you start listening to our show and each time there's a break. If you have any questions at all, consult your doctor or pharmacist.
Tell your doctor if you have listened to any other radio show in the past 4 months, such as Front Page, Mountain Edition, or The Reader's Notebook. Tell your doctor exactly which show you listen to.
Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week for more exciting news from the world of medical research on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.